threatening to cancel a couple of months ago, but they have come at this now with such vehemence, and because they are so hostile to universities. J.D. Vance made a speech a couple of years ago absolutely laying out that the plan was to, as a priority, root out radicals from within America's universities once they got back into power. They've gone so far down that road that I think they would find it very difficult now to row completely back.
Yes, and here we are. What time are you on tonight, Simon?
10 o'clock tonight, in for Ben, 10 till 1.
There you go, appointment to listen. The time now is 12 noon. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midday, Sir Mark Rowley has told LBC that prison reforms in England and Wales will step up demands on policing. The Metropolitan Police Commissioner has warned some offenders who are released early from jail will commit more crime. Criminals could be freed a third of the way through their terms as part of the changes. The former Inspector of Constabulary, Zoe Billingham, says forces can't meet targets on their current resources.
I see how stretched frontline officers are every single day as they run towards danger to keep us safe. So there is a need really for the government to listen to this quite unique call really by police chiefs to make sure that budgets are safeguarded for the benefit of all of our communities.
The Home Office says it is backing the police with up to £17.6 billion this year. Thames Water has been fined more than £120 million over sewage spills and shareholder dividends. Ofwat says the fines will be paid by the company and its investors and not customers. The firm's still looking for new investment as it struggles under debt of about £20 billion. The Home Office has insisted it has no intention of reclassifying cannabis. It's responded to calls from London's Mayor Sir Sadiq Khan for possession of small quantities of the drug to be decriminalised. Sir Sadiq says a review shows a compelling evidence-based case to change the rules. Tory frontbencher Helen Whateley has told LBC she is against any relaxations.
I don't think that the way forward to address violence in cities, and for instance, yeah, there's a huge problem with knife crime in London and problems with drugs, is to be soft in drugs and to go down the line of legalising cannabis. That's not the right answer. We need to be tough on crime, and that includes being tough on drugs.
A bin worker has died after being hit by a refuse lorry in Devon. Police say the crew member in his 20s died at the scene in Torquay yesterday lunchtime. The health and safety executive has been informed. The Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, is in Berlin to meet the German Chancellor, Friedrich Merz. He is seeking more military support after an escalation in Russia's bombing campaign in recent weeks. Mr. Merz announced on Monday a lifting of a range of range restrictions on weapons provided to Kiev. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was trading at 87.64. That's down 13. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 19. LBC weather, most places seeing some sunny spells and showers this afternoon. Feeling quite warm in any sunshine. A high of 22 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
A southern train is a place where family moments become more peaceful. Where you can spread out and a game of I Spy gets a scenic upgrade with snacks, stories and the occasional sheep for a bonus point. Less stress, more yes with kids tickets for £2 at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
Three minutes after 12 is the time. This is a bit strange. It's possible, and I know that you don't expect this of me, it's possible that we're about to do a phone-in that could be loosely filed under motoring. In case you don't know my history in this field, I am allergic to motoring phone-ins. Apart from the eternal question of whether or not there is anybody old out there feeling poorly, few subjects are better guaranteed to make the switchboard in a studio like this light up without yielding a single contribution of interest. Parking tickets that you felt were unfair, smart motorways that you feel are in a egregious denial of liberties, anything motoring related. And of course, because so much of phone-in radio historically has been listened to by people in cars, motoring topics have always been very, very popular. But it depends what you're prioritising, quantity or quality. I'm yet to hear a very interesting radio phone-in about any of the hardy perennial subjects of motoring-related conversation. But something quite strange happened in the last 24 hours. The first thing is this. I was walking home yesterday and a mum went past me. Quite a lick, quite a speed on one of those little scooters that have electric engines. She wasn't wearing a helmet. And since I don't know if you know, I damaged myself. I had quite a nasty gash in my head a few weeks ago as a consequence of coming off a line bike after skidding on a little bit of ice on the way to work. And so ever since then, I've really noticed helmets with regard to cycling. I kind of should have known sooner. I remember James Cracknell telling me about how important it was to wear a helmet because he probably wouldn't be alive if he hadn't been wearing his when he was struck by a truck while filming in the United States of America. But sometimes, you know, you almost need to have your face rubbed in it. There's no PMQs, by the way, in case you're wondering. They're on holiday this week. As Michael in Wolverhampton asks, couldn't Nigel have waited and taken his holiday this week instead? I'm sure he's got better things to do than be an actual MP. Michael, he was probably down in Clacton looking after his constituents. Definitely not in Nice with his trotters up. But I saw this mum go past, and I tell you what this phone-in is going to be about, all right? It's not actually going to be about motoring. Am I turning into an old git, or is this actually a major scourge? That's what this phone-in is going to be. I'm sorry if that's too self-referential for you, but it works for me. Am I turning into an old git? Or is this actually a scourge of the modern age? That's going to be the phone-in. Because this mum zipped past me, and I know what you're thinking. How do you know she was a mum? Well, wait. She zipped past me at a rate of knots. These vehicles seem to me to have got quicker and quicker and quicker with every passing month. And I clocked, as I said, that the mum was not wearing a helmet. And I felt that little kind of, you know, when your mouth goes like a cat's bum, I felt that little sort of purse of disapproval creeping up on me. Not necessarily visibly, but internally I was pursing. I was going like this. Ooh, that's terrible. You know, that disapproval, like sucking a lemon. Oh, dear. Disapproving, you see. For two reasons, and only one of them would be selfish. I swear to you, since I had my little accident, my first reaction is, oh, God, I hope she doesn't fall off because she's really going to hurt herself if she does, right? And then my second thought, inevitably, is this is blooming dangerous. I could be crossing that road. And you're really flying now on these little vehicles. Quite a few of you are pointing out that it's perfectly possible that this is a scourge of the modern age and I am turning into a miserable old git. The producer, so take this up with her, not me, has also pointed out that any callers poised to agree with me on this issue could also be turning into old gits, so their evidence and their contributions are not necessarily reliable. But anyway, so I'm doing the cat's bum thing, and I'm feeling the internal disapproval, and I'm also coming from a place of kindness and thinking, I really want to please wear a helmet. Please. And then her little girl comes past as well, going at roughly the same speed on a little mini electric scooter. So it's mother and daughter. It's half term, so they wouldn't have been coming back from school. And they've got like matching scooters, like big and small, little and large. And so she's zipped past, and then the little girl, probably about eight, and she's not wearing a helmet either. I swear to you, you're not going to believe me, because I've already introduced the old git possibility. I swear to you that my initial impulse is one of, oh dear. My initial impulse is, how can you let that little girl ride around at that speed? I mean, it's bad enough on a push bike. These are going considerably faster than push bikes. And then my second one is, oh, this is outrageous. Wouldn't have happened in my day. Which, of course, it wouldn't, because the technology didn't exist. Rob writes, I've never examined my cat's bum in that much detail, James. I'll have to rectify the situation when I get home from work. No, don't, Rob. Seriously, you won't thank me. But you know the expression I'm talking about. You might have to check YouTube out for that little portrayal. And that let my thoughts run slightly into all the other stuff as well. So my local supermarket does a lot of deliveries. I'm increasingly fascinated by people who can't be bothered to walk to their local supermarket and going to have a delivery done instead. I understand if it's an emergency or if you're not very mobile, but the number of deliveries now zipping around London, and I hope this isn't a London-centric subject. I'm pretty sure this is true in other cities and towns as well. But the vehicles that these guys are riding now, they're like something out of Mad Max. Some of them have got wheels that are so wide You could sort of, I don't know, knock down a small wall with them. And they're all different as well. You see, there's a million different, it's a world I know nothing about. There's a million different variations. Some of them are scooters, as we say, except that they've got engines on them. Some of them are, to all intents and purposes, off-road motorbikes, except they've got electric engines rather than internal combustion engines. There's a lot of trouble going on off-road in parks, but also on streets. And so I'm holding these thoughts in my head, and I'm very, very conscious of old git syndrome. I'm very conscious of it. What was that brilliant thing that we looked at yesterday from Douglas Adams? Do you remember the way that you can determine your attitude to something by roughly how old you were? Well, should we call it old gittitis? I think we'll call it old gittitis. That's got a nice ring to it. So I'm very conscious, especially doing this for a living. So easy to turn into an old git when you do this for a living. And I want to resist old gittitis. I really do. And that quote that we got yesterday from Douglas Adams was perfect, wasn't it? So it's all about the age you are when something new happens will determine almost entirely how you feel about the thing that has happened. I'll find it for you shortly and share it with you again. But it was blooming good. I think we can all agree about that. So I'm constantly conscious of the dangers of slipping into old gittitis. But I wasn't going to talk about it on the radio. Probably for that reason. A, it's a motoring topic, right? And B, it's got all the trappings of old gittitis. But that little girl wasn't wearing a helmet. So there's two stories here. There's the grown-ups zipping around like extras out of Mad Max, endangering themselves and others with a sort of abandon. And then there's the idea of it becoming more and more commonplace to the point where children are doing it as well. But I wasn't going to talk about it on the radio until I opened up the Sun newspaper today. It seems to me to be the only one that's picked up on this story. And they report that police are set to get powers to crush the bikes. They list off-road bikes, e-scooters and cars within 48 hours of seizing them. Currently, you've got to wait 14 days before you're allowed to dispose of a vehicle, which means you can reclaim it quite easily, and that removes the deterrent for repeat offending. It speaks to intimidating street racing and off-road biking in public parks. We'll extend it to all sort of antisocial behaviour. Some of these bikes apparently are legal. If you ride a legal e-bike responsibly and legally, the bikes and scooters you are talking about are illegal. Well, that must be true, because a Lime bike is an e-bike, right? I mean, is there a distinction between the ones that oscillate between pedal power and electrical power and the ones that don't? I don't know, and I'm not going to apologise for not knowing, because it is a rapidly growing and largely undiscovered country. But stuff happens sometimes in plain sight, and we don't realise how bad it is until it's almost too late. You think most obviously at this point, probably, of online safety. You know, suddenly we wake up one morning and realise that online safety, particularly for children, is a genuine scourge of the modern age. Scourge of the modern age. I entered a public speaking competition when I was 15, and that was one of the options, the scourge of the modern age. So I chose GCSEs. And I won. But anyway, the way that online safety of children has gone absolutely unremarked until it is almost certainly too late. You know, it takes a drama like Adolescence, or it takes the special day that we on LBC dedicated to online safety to really drive home how far the problem has gone, how deeply dug in the problem is. But it's happened in plain sight. It's unfolded in front of us. There's echoes here of the conversation we had in the first hour about water companies and their egregious conduct. But it's not impossible that this is a massive, massive problem. And that's my question for you. Am I turning into an old git, or are these vehicles that are zipping around our streets now, children quite often in the saddle or on the... What's the flat bit of a scooter called, Keith? Do we know? Footplate? Footplate? Children quite often in the saddle or standing on the footplate. It may be we hit 12 noon today, and I will once again have been reminded why I never go anywhere near topics that are even vaguely related to motoring. But if it hadn't been for the juxtaposition of the mother and daughter zipping past me yesterday evening, the newspaper report today, I've got the quote from the Minister for Crime and Policing, Dame Diana Johnson, talking about the reckless driving bringing misery to communities. We need a little bit of a heads up on what's allowed and what isn't allowed, what's legal and what's not legal. But generally speaking, I think that this is far too little, far too late. I think they're a bloody menace. I've thought it for some time, but I've guarded against articulating that feeling for fear of turning into an old git. So that is your 12:15 question. These e-bikes, these scooters, are they a menace on a scale that has gone largely unrecognised by the authorities? 0345 6060973. Or am I just turning into an old git? Or could it possibly be a little bit of both? Hit the numbers now, you will get through. And you will get through. 0345 6060973. Why on earth shouldn't the police be free to crush these vehicles if people are using them in an unpleasant or antisocial fashion? The problem I've got is that I can't really conceive of how they're not being used. Why have they become so prevalent? Absolutely everywhere and causing untold damage. But there will be a lot of people listening to this who swear by them. I was a big fan of the Lime bikes until I fell off mine. So you just sort of have to recognise, James, that the world has changed, that things have moved on. This is where the old get. Look, it's a funny phrase, all right, but it's true. You guard against something because it's new and it wasn't around when you were young. And we'll find that Douglas Adams quote shortly that drives home all of the points that I'm trying to make. But you have to recognise sometimes that things have changed and they might discombobulate you, but it's actually a change for the better. And that's why I'm talking about old gititis. That's why I need to be clear. Because I think in Paris they introduced them and then removed them again, didn't they? The ones that were publicly available. I've got the Douglas Adams quote. It's absolutely perfect. I'm going to share it with you now because I just feel that he expresses what I'm trying to convey rather better than I do. So bear with. The way it works is this. Anything that is in the world when you're born is normal and ordinary and is just a natural part of the way the world works, right? Rule one. Rule two. Anything that's invented between when you're 15 and 35 is new and exciting and revolutionary, and you can probably get a career in it. And then this is rule three, and this is where old gititis kicks in. Anything invented after you're 35 is against the natural order of things. So, are these vehicles an absolute menace, or am I suffering from Douglas Adams' third rule that anything invented after you're 35 is against the natural order of things? And do you know what? I'm glad we've done this, because hand on heart, as I prepare to throw open the phone lines to you, I honestly don't know, and I'm really interested in what you think. It could be that this is me coming the closest I'll ever come to launching a form of moral panic. Hit the numbers now, you will get through.
The all-new LBC app. News your way. Download it for free from the App Store. This is LBC.
A Thameslink train is a place where family moments become more peaceful. Where you can spread out and a game of I Spy gets a scenic upgrade with snacks, stories and the occasional sheep for a bonus point. Less stress, more yes, with kids' tickets for £2 at thameslinkrailway.com. Terms apply.
You could be a lotto millionaire like Terry. Get your ticket for tonight's draw. The National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Getting ready for summer? It's time to scrub the barbecue, mow the lawn and dust off the wine glasses. At Waitrose, we're getting ready with 25% off six or more bottles of wine or fizz over £6. Like a fruity San Leo Prosecco, perfect with aged Parma ham. Or a crisp Whispering Angel Rosé, ideal for your first barbecue. And our number one Chablis. The aromas of fresh peach pair beautifully with a seafood salad. Start the summer with some great savings at Waitrose. Selected stores and lines, subject to availability. Excludes Scotland, boxed wines and bottles priced £100 and over.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Got any tips?
Your best bet is to head to BetVictor.
Why's that?
They've got more features than you can shake a stick at. They've got cash out, they've got in-play football, racing, tennis, all your favourite sports. They've got the best odds guaranteed on racing, and then there's the bet builder. And of course, you've got the lucky dip. Blimey, dip! I've got to go, fella. It's Nacho Night at Casa Redknapp. And holy moly, I forgot the guacamole. Ay, caramba.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet at BetVictor. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. Gamblerware.org.
James O'Brien on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
20 minutes after 12 is the time. So we have a little bit of need for further information. And then we've got a fairly strict or fairly clear tension between Douglas Adams' third rule, anything invented after you're 35 is against the natural order of things, or it actually is a menace. It actually is a kind of unfolding disaster on our streets. I speak, if you're just joining us, of police getting powers to crush off-road bikes, e-scooters and even cars within 48 hours of seizing them, which will prevent miscreants from being able to claim them back. Sam's in Bristol. Sam, what do you reckon?
Hi, Sam. James,
it happens a lot. You carry on.
So I'm not a self-prescribed old get. I drive an electric bike. It's a legal one. So the clarity in the law that I think you were missing is you can drive electric bikes. They need to be 15 miles per hour or lower, and they need to be pedal-assisted only. They can't have a throttle where you can drive them without any sort of pedalling.
That so everything that I've seen with a throttle is illegal?
Yes. So, well, I was just talking to your producer then. I think in the short term, maybe clamping down on them may work, but there's a bit of a juxtaposition, I think, when they tell us we need to be greener, we need to use more greener modes of transport,
yeah,
and then they clamp down on the only green mode of transport that's affordable.
Hang on, what about a pedal? What about a push bike?
Well, a push bike is great, but if you're somebody like me, so I travel 5 miles to get to uni every day. I live in Bristol. It's incredibly hilly.
It is very hilly.
You'd need to be very, very physically fit to comfortably commute for 5 miles in Bristol on a push bike, or at least trying to be very physically fit, which I'm not particularly doing right now. I've got a lazy man's bike, I like to call it. But the other thing is I think there's a socioeconomic thing in play. You mentioned earlier on about delivery drivers and how fast they drive around. The thing is, we've created a gig economy where these delivery drivers, if they're not delivering their food at a rate of knots, they're not even making minimum wage. And I feel like there's this incentive to get there faster. Another thing is we don't allow these drivers to insure their bikes and put license plates on them and drive them properly.
So there's definitely a need for something to change fairly drastically, but it's not necessarily born of my misgivings. It's born more of yours.
We should be allowing people. So this is the law for scooters and for certain electric bikes. You're not allowed to insure them. Therefore, there's no way you're allowed to drive them legally. If we had a system where we could insure these bikes, therefore you could drive them as a law-abiding citizen, bikes and scooters, then people might have more incentive to drive properly, not skim red lights, not go over the speed limit.
Be conscious of veering too far into a motoring conversation rather than a moral panic conversation, please.
So yeah.
This is all about the moral panic, nothing to do with skipping red lights. But I understand the frustrations that you describe. Do we have any idea? I mean, so as I make my way around Brentford of an evening and I encounter countless vehicles in various categories, do we have any idea how many of them are illegal and how many of them are legal?
If you see somebody skimming round, going faster than 15 miles an hour...
What's that in kind of layman's terms? What sort of animal goes at 15 miles an hour full tilt? A cat?
Uh, I don't know. This is a
phone-in.
Sure.
This has got phone-in written all over it. What animal has an average speed of 15 miles an hour? That's what the people deserve to... So, I mean, how fast... If I'm thinking, oh, my God, you're going to kill yourself if you fall off now, they're probably going faster than 15 miles an hour or not?
Think about it. A car driving past the school is going 20 miles an hour, isn't it?
Yes,
so slightly
good point.
Slower than that. But my bike, for example, goes about 15, and I need to... Well, it goes faster than that if I'm going down a hill, obviously, because of physics.
Yes.
But if I'm just you going flat, using the pedalers, it will assist me up to 15 miles an hour. And then if I want to go faster, I need to pedal hard.
Oh, okay.
Whereas if you see a bike that has a throttle, it's illegal. If you see a scooter, it's illegal, apart from the ones that you can hire for a couple of minutes or whatever. And also, if you see something going... quite clearly faster than 15 miles an hour, they are also illegal. But I think there should be a way to legally drive these vehicles so that people aren't incentivized to drive them like maniacs.
I think that your point about delivery drivers is actually quite strong and quite humbling. Listen, for me, I hadn't thought about that. These fellas literally have no choice. In fact, Joe's been in touch to say, as an ex-Deliveroo rider, this guy is absolutely nailing it. So we've created the necessity for the technology, even as we worry about the technology.
James, I live in Bristol. We have a literal favela in Bristol underneath the M32 motorway of foreign delivery drivers who have come over here and are being paid less than minimum wage and are scraping by living in caravans that are leaking through the roofs just to get by. These are the sort of people that we're talking about that have these electric bikes. If they don't get the food there in 5 minutes, they're not being paid even minimum wage. So I think there's an incentive to drive them like this.
We're moving heavily into old Git territory now for me with all of the examples that you're citing. Please don't laugh like that, Sam. On a lighter note, have you ever seen an Andean salamander in the wild?
I can't say I have. Are you going to tell me that they run 15 miles an hour?
I am indeed, yes. Between 12 and 15.
Every day's a school day.
Well, a squirrel. A squirrel typically moves between 10 or 12 miles per hour, but can reach... if the occasion deserves, if the occasion demands, a squirrel can get up to 15 miles an hour. I don't know how helpful that is. I'm trying to imagine a squirrel going as fast as possible, and I don't know if it's helping me actually picture how fast an e-bike would also go at the same...
You don't often see them running down the road, that's the problem.
Squirrels?
No,
not on scooters. You're on. Okay, great start. Thank you for treating this subject with the seriousness that it actually deserves and for politely skirting around the question of whether my reaction is slightly born of Douglas Adams's third law of what I have dubbed old gittitis, by which anything invented after you're 35 is against the natural order of things. I don't like it because it's new. 12:26 is the time. John is in Hounslow. John, what would you like to say?
Morning, James.
Hello, John.
Thank you for highlighting the bicycle helmet issue.
Yes.
I always wear mine, and I've headbutted street furniture on two occasions, which would have seriously injured me.
By accident, John?
By accident,
oh, I see.
Yes.
Okay. Carry on.
Slippery. So just happens.
Yes.
I'm unashamedly an old git on this. I think these... electric bikes are thoroughly dangerous, and near Austerley tube station, I saw one heading west on the Crow Rest Road, not on the road, on the bike path, doing not less than 40. I suspect as much as 50.
What? I think that's feasible. But what faculties are you using when you estimate how fast something's going?
Experience of driving and cycling, road use. I make a note of vehicles going past. I used to live in Biggin Hill, and I'd to wait for the bus by the airport, and I could see cars that were doing 30 miles an hour clearly, and then there were some that were going a bit faster, and then there were the idiots who were doing 50, 60, and 70.
So are we going to be sitting here in 5 years' time going, huh, you see, me and John told you so, we're right, you're wrong? Or are we going to be sitting here in 5 years' time going, yeah, I think we may have been a bit daft on that one because it is just technology. Video didn't kill the radio star, and we just don't like it because it's new and it's slightly unnerving, but we're watching the inevitable march of progress.
I don't know. I think it'll be chaos and rubbish.
We'll see.
It'll be another another thing that Nigel Farage finds good to have a go at.
Because, God forbid. Well, I'm abandoning it and that day for certain. But I don't know, you see, because I thought that Sam's points about delivery drivers and the necessity of the gig economy was very powerful. It doesn't justify it. If something's wrong, the fact that people have no choice but to deploy it doesn't make it less wrong. It just makes their behaviour much, much, much less culpable. Thank you, John. Try to not headbutt any street furniture again. It is very dangerous, as you say, and it is, as I say, I don't know why, it's the mother and daughter last night that really brought this subject home for me, rather than the examples John describes, which we're all familiar with, of people sort of overtaking cheetahs, to continue with my animal and mammal based comparisons. Roger Bannister, Keith, when he did his 4 minute mile, think about it, if you do a mile in 4 minutes, what speed are you going? On average. Come on. You can do this. 1 mile in 4 minutes. How many miles would you do in an hour? It's quite a simple calculation. And if you're too dozy to come up with the answer, I'll tell you after the very latest news headlines with Dominic Ellis.
Britain's most senior police officer has warned that prison reforms will lead to more crime. Some criminals could be released a third of the way through their jail terms as part of the changes in England and Wales. The energy regulator Ofgem's announced that thousands of customers who had prepayment meters force-fitted will receive compensation. Those eligible could see payouts of up to £1,000. In Thames Water has been given the largest fine ever issued by the regulator Ofwat. It'll pay more than £120 million after two investigations into wastewater and dividend payments. LBC weather, sunny spells and showers for most places, feeling quite warm in the sunshine, highs of 22 degrees.
LBC. The legendary George Smiley is back. It's spring 1963, a Russian agent has defected in the most unusual of circumstances, and Smiley will soon find himself entangled in a perilous mystery that will strike at the heart of his greatest enemy. Return to the spy world of John le Carré with the gripping Sunday Times best-selling thriller Carla's Choice by award-winning novelist Nick Harkaway. Out now in paperback.
The Red Cross is here to deliver essentials to people who have lost everything in Ukraine.
We are here to support families enduring the food crisis in Somalia.
We're here to shelter earthquake survivors in Turkey and Syria.
We're here for humanity. With your support, the Red Cross has helped millions of people in the UK and 190 other countries. Search British Red Cross to support us. Together, we are the world's emergency responders.
I've had a few. Jimmy was my first. He was gorgeous and gave me so much space. Then there was Lorenzo. He was exciting, but also reliable. Elvis is my latest. I love him the most. He makes me feel so warm with his heated seats and steering wheel. It might sound strange to love a car and name them, but it's not just me. Almost every Honda Jazz owner stays with the Jazz and buys another. True love starts with a test drive. Honda, the power of dreams.
I'm making a robot head with an Amazon box. I've painted it silver and Daddy helped me make it.
At Amazon, we're actually using paper bags for more of our deliveries.
And now I'm making a paper hot air balloon. And I even made a little brown basket. And I'm making a dog that looks just like Monty.
Just one of the ways we've reduced the weight of our packaging by more than 40% since 2015. Which is still good for playtime.
Mom, where's the scissors?
To learn more, visit aboutamazon.co.uk/sustainability.
This is LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
It is 12:32. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. I forget sometimes that you don't concentrate as hard as I do while I'm doing this. Obviously, you've got other things to do. You know, you might be doing your job while I do mine. I can be background noise. It was a bit of a joke, that comment about Roger Bannister. I'm searching for a way of being entirely clear in my own head how fast 15 miles an hour is. And I don't think that the Andean... What was it again? The Andean what? What did I say a moment ago? Not an aardvark. It was an Andean salamander, was it? An Andean salamander? That's not helpful. That goes, apparently, that can go at 15 miles an hour. So I'm trying to picture in my mind what 15 miles an hour looks like. I've got an Andean salamander or a very fast squirrel. But squirrels just go in short bursts. You need to see a squirrel doing 100 metres or something like that to get a proper idea of what 15 miles an hour looks like. I don't think it's very quick. But Roger Bannister ran a mile in a minute, in 4 minutes. So if you times, or rather if you divide 60 minutes by four, you get 15, which means that if he was doing an average, he was doing 15 miles an hour. But lots of people took that seriously, and my inbox is now full of people showing me the sums they've done and coming up with the answer 15 miles. It was kind of a rhetorical question. Even I can do 60 divided by 4. So I've now got an image of Roger Bannister, but of course he didn't do it all at the same... Did he do it all at the same speed? Maybe he did. How fast do you think Usain Bolt goes? What was it? Correct, faster. What was his top speed during his 100-metre world record run? He was close to 20, nearly 30... 27.8 miles an hour, so almost double. Usain Bolt can run twice as fast as a legal e-bike. So there's no earthly way that the majority of the vehicles that you see on your days out are obeying the law. And quite a few of you seem to be concerned that something's happened to James O'Brien, and Alan Partridge has taken over the presenting duties on this programme. I have no idea what you mean by that. All I will tell you is that the tension between moral panic and old gittitis is strong. 12:35 is the time. The number you need is 03456060973. Is this going to be something we look back on and think, how the hell did we ever let that happen? Or is it something that is unfolding under our noses in real time and simply represents progress at best and inevitable change at least? Tony's in Western Supermare. Tony, what would you like to say?
Hi, James. Good to talk to you.
Hello, mate.
I could get emotional talking about this because One of my good old friends, Karine Chartier, 85-year-old amazing Austrian woman, yeah, who was trilingual, worked as a trilingual translator for the likes of the United Nations and lived in Nice, where I lived for 4 years, yeah, was killed in March last year by a guy on a scooter.
Oh, Lord, I'm sorry.
Now, in France, you can drive up to 25 kilometres a mile an hour, which is the equivalent, I think, of 15 miles per hour.
It's about the same.
If you've got insurance in streets like Nice, but this guy didn't have insurance. He was going at 35 kilometres per hour. The streets are shared. The pavements are shared with the crossovers all the time between the scooters and pedestrians. And she was hit. He wasn't looking where he was going. He was going too fast. And she fell over backwards, hit her head and died, which was obviously very traumatic for her family and her friends. And I can't see that that's not the sort of thing that's going to keep happening here, even if you brought in laws and you regulated it. And I really don't understand why all these years later we've still got so many people whizzing around on them. I actually use one myself, but it's not motorised. It's just a good old-fashioned push scooter. And the other day a lady told me off and said, "You're not allowed then, they're against the law." And I showed her that it was a normal one that everyone can use, yes, and it wasn't going to speak. But it's ridiculous, James. I just really don't understand why.
I wish the grounds for your contribution weren't so serious, Tony. I really do, because I mean that puts an entirely different dimension on things, and it falls to me, of course, to remind you that you can't extrapolate a policy from one experience. You know, anecdote and data are not the same thing. But I think that your story, your friend's story, is more important than that. It feels like an inevitable consequence of the current approach to this phenomenon, doesn't it? And I'm amazed it doesn't happen more, to be honest with you. And for every tragedy like the one you described, there'll be 100 or 1,000 near misses or less serious incidents that are a consequence of this having become, and I hate this phrase in most contexts, but I think it applies here, it's a bit of a wild west, isn't it?
It is, yeah. The guy's in prison, he's only just been, it obviously took a while for the case to come around, but he's gone to prison for 12 months, fine as well. The judge described him as very contrite. Yeah, absolutely, as soon as he'd done it, he was so sad about what he'd done, but it's too late. And the example you gave, the mother and her daughter, yeah, what would she think for the rest of her life? She thinks it's nothing. I actually lived in Nice for 4 years. I got knocked off my bike and ended up in hospital and had stitches in my head, and it was my fault I didn't have a helmet on. But you don't think about these things till it's too late. Your children are so important, and everyone else is so important, that this is something that really they should be taken off the streets immediately and destroyed.
I think I agree with you. I mean, albeit that it would leave some people in serious trouble if their livelihood depends on being able to zip around. But there are legal ways that you can do that. You know, I'm sure they're a lot cheaper than traditional mopeds, for example. But the market would adjust. It would fix itself. You've introduced psychology to it, and I wonder whether thinking about that mother and daughter, and recognizing that, you know, they're but for the grace of God go any of us, because of what you've just described, as they become more and more commonplace, it becomes more and more likely that people are not going to be fully cognizant of the potential dangers. Do you know what I mean? I didn't wear a helmet when I bashed my head in. And I was quite good at wearing helmets on my normal bicycle when I'm going out with it, because when I lock it up, I'll lock the helmet with it. But when I was riding a line bike, I stopped wearing a helmet and I paid the price. Luckily, I lived to tell the tale and what have you. But the psychology...
James, I think for individuals, you need a shock to your system. My 21-year-old, when she learned to drive, she had a shock, she had an accident, and she's a much, much better driver since. My wife, who works in catering, had a shock when she... realised that she might have served something that could have hurt someone because she got an ingredient wrong and they asked advice on it. Luckily nothing happened, but she got a shock. And you get a shock and you never do it again. If you don't get that individual shock, it's not enough to...
So do you think we'll sit here... I'll ask you what I asked John in Hounslow. Do you think that we will sit here in 5 or 10 years' time and marvel at how lackadaisical we were back in the day, or will we be sitting here reflecting upon how much the situation has changed and how even more commonplace these vehicles are now?
No, because you're sharing, it's too close. You're sharing too close a space between pedestrians and
you think we will look back and think, how on earth were we so lax about it back then, and the law will catch up with the behaviour? Because that's the other element that you remind us of, Tony. And once again, my condolences on the loss of your friend. That's awful, absolutely awful. But it's another example, isn't it, of... I always thought this. First time I ever thought this was with the internet, and how behaviour moves much faster than laws. And goodness me, that's turned out to be so true and so relevant. The fact that the so-called, you know, the attempts to regulate what happens online are lagging miles behind what is actually happening online. Online safety being perhaps the best example of how people doing bad things will be far and ahead in front of the people trying to stop them from doing bad things. I don't know whether water regulation falls into that category, to try to knit together all the topics that we've talked about today. But that's sometimes what happens, you know. It happens with drugs as well, actually. So I can knit together all three. So a new synthetic drug appears on the market. It's not actually illegal. The law has to catch up with the chemistry to criminalise something that is profoundly dangerous. I don't imagine spice was illegal, was it, when it was first concocted in a laboratory? You wouldn't have been able to make something illegal if it hadn't previously existed. So I do wonder whether we will look back on the proliferation of these vehicles, inevitable though that proliferation may be in the current economic circumstances, and find ourselves thinking that really should never have happened. I can't believe that we didn't act sooner. 12:42 is the time. Tony, take care. James is in Finchley. James, what would you like to say?
Hi. I do agree with what the previous person was saying about safety and whatnot.
Whatnot?
But unfortunately, I also believe that we can't turn back time and the technology already exists. So rather than making them entirely illegal, it would be more logical to, you know, try and regulate it, make laws around helmets, insurance and things like that.
Yeah, if it's got an engine, it should probably need to be insured. I'm not a big fan of the old argument about cyclists needing to be insured. I think that's a bit of a red herring. But if you're moving fast enough, I suppose people would make the same argument about cycles, but if your engine is powerful enough to do some serious damage, the idea that you're not insured, it does seem a little bit absurd. But why can't we turn the clock back? Why can't, when we've done it with other things, you know, laws get introduced and then they get repealed again? Why can't we just remove them all, make it an offence to be on the road on one of these things entirely?
Well, it currently is an offence to have them on the road, and I'm sure you know, working in London, they are absolutely everywhere, and that is just clearly not going to work. So what would be better is give people the opportunity to insure it, maybe give people courses on how to ride them safely, things like that. And also, I think I can tie back to the previous topic about smoking weed as well.
Go on, then.
I think another issue is that when older people get told that something is illegal, they use that as a excuse to be aggressive towards younger people. So my girlfriend actually was using the electric scooter to get to work every day, and it was a few miles the journey, and she'd have to do it in any weather, lots of hills, things like that. And the scooter was a godsend. Her dad got it for her, and it really opened up doors as to where she can work, you know, how long it takes her to get there and things like that.
Yeah.
But she did have an experience a couple of times where people have actually even crossed the road to get in her face and start screaming and shouting at her about it being illegal.
Was she on the road or the pavement?
I believe she may have been on the pavement on that occasion.
She can't be bombing around on the pavement, mate.
I understand that, but at the same time, I mean...
Also, how do you know they were old? There might be lots of young people who don't want to get hit by a 20-mile-an-hour scooter on the pavement.
I do agree. None of us want to be hit by them, and a lot of people driving them are extremely dangerous. When I'm at work, I have people cutting in front of me in the van and swerving the roads. But also, I think part of that is because they're illegal.
Yeah.
Because there isn't a legal place to ride them. I think one of the previous callers said this as well. They have to ride it in a certain way to not get caught, and they feel like they are criminals and they're being watched by people.
Do you think, different types? I mean, the delivery riders aren't going to be feeling like that, but the young scallywags might be. It's a motor, not an engine. You will not believe how many texts I've had telling me that it's a motor, not an engine, and that is largely why I don't do motoring topics on this programme, because of the relationship between... Well, I suppose it is important. But at least a couple of you added the word sorry, like Paul. It's not an engine, James, it's a motor. Sorry. Best regards, Paul. James, thank you. And I don't know. I honestly don't know. I love the way sometimes when we're having a natter that the question evolves. And this is really interesting, and no one can answer it definitively. 5-10 years from now, do we look back on this and marvel that we didn't act sooner? That we marvel at the fact that we had these relatively powerful motors zipping along and endangering everybody, not least the people on them, but perhaps more pertinently the people in their path. And we just sort of accepted it, or made powerful arguments about the delivery rider culture, all of that. Or will we sit there 5 to 10 years from now and inhabit the world that James describes, where things have become more normalised and therefore safer, and everyone is recognising the inevitable march of technology, and people aren't on the pavements anymore, and if they are, they're on a specific bit. I just don't know. But I think that point he makes about turning back time is powerful, don't you? Because if something is so baked into our behaviour, getting it out of our behaviour is a bit like, and who can guess what of my top 10 analogies I'm about to use now? Getting it out of our behaviour would be a bit like trying to get the eggs out of a baked cake.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Sheila Fogarty.
The Met Chief is right, isn't he? You can't empty prisons, jail fewer people and expect safer streets without more funding.
Sheila Fogarty on LBC.
Amazon offers employees up to £8,000 for education and training, like Juliet. She's now a trained technician, and to her, the sound of machinery in need of repair reminds her of how far she's come. In 2 years, she's landed her dream job, providing her with valuable skills. That's up to £8,000 for education and training at Amazon. Eligibility conditions apply.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous. High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Shutterly Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand-finished and expertly installed. Make your home Shutterly Fabulous. So don't dither, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
A Southern train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to skip traffic and glide to wherever you need to be. With headspace to focus on more important matters. Like if that cloud is a starfish or sunflower. Fast journeys without the rush with great deals at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Car owners, you could be owed thousands in compensation. If you bought a car on finance from 2007 onwards, it may have been sold with hidden commissions. My claim group is working hard to help. So, even if you've forgotten your details, make sure you check. Text CLAIM to 86688. My Claim Group is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Text CLAIM to 86688.
Claims made simple. Big, big, big motoring world. Wow, Motoring World.
Yes, that's right. Big Motoring World is also Wow Motoring World because we price check our cars every day to guarantee you our best price, with up to 95% of them below market value. Big Motoring World, we're big on what matters to you. See website for nearest store. Visit bigmotoringworld.co.uk or one of our stores for our price promise and terms and conditions.
Leading Britain's conversation, LBC, with James O'Brien.
It is 12:49. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Out of all of the ex-MPs, who would it be funniest to hear complaining about the amount of money they receive from the state? You could call it, if you like, a social safety net. And we talk often on the programme about the difficulty of distinguishing between the safety net and the trampoline. But people who have historically been quite cutting about the provision of a social safety net for ordinary people. Imagine one of them suddenly deciding that they deserve a luxury social safety net, that they somehow deserve to receive largesse from the state that they would very happily deny to other people. I'm going to give you a clue. Because it turns out that the answer this guy gives to Victoria Derbyshire on the BBC wasn't entirely true.
What do you want to do if you're not an MP?
Skydiving, motorcycling, fast catamaran sailing.
Okay. It turns out that hard man of Brexit, Steve Baker, has not managed to turn skydiving. What's the other one? Fast catamaran. Motorcycling. Skydiving, motorcycling, fast catamaran sailing. He hasn't managed to turn any of them into paid employment because he is now calling for MPs who lose their seat to receive an entire year's salary in addition to what they already receive, I think, or possibly instead of what they already receive. He was an MP for 14 years. He said that the money they receive upon being handed their sandwiches wrapped in a roadmap by the electorate is nowhere near large enough. He says if we want MPs to exercise leadership, there has to be some kind of safety net that you fall into if you lose your seat. Baker is calling for 1 year's redundancy pay for ex-MPs to get us, in his words, over the horrible process of actually getting a job when you're well known. You know my views on Brexit. And he was indeed the self-styled hard man of Brexit. But if you are in the fast catamaran sailing business, or indeed the world of motorcycling, or skydiving even, and you have vacancies in your business, in your firm, in your organisation, perhaps you could give this guy a shout.
Skydiving, motorcycling, fast catamaran sailing.
That's a CV, isn't it? That's both a dream, an ambition and a CV. So do you know anyone who works in any of those fields? And listen, I wouldn't wish unemployment on anybody, well, maybe some people. But the point here is, of course, that the idea of the social safety net is good enough for me, you might suggest, but not for thee. A point made rather splendidly, I think, by the Professor of Political Economy, the Professor of the Political Economy of Europe at LSE, Jonathan Hopkin, on Blue Sky earlier today. So I just thought, given it was... can we play the full-length clip again, just to put a smile on everybody's face on this Wednesday afternoon?
What do you want to do if you're not an MP?
Skydiving, motorcycling, fast catamaran sailing.
Fast catamaran sailing. I'm a great student of comedy, as you know. I'm not a practitioner of it by any stretch of the imagination. But why is it 10 times funnier when he says fast catamaran sailing? Is there a big world of slow catamaran sailing or mid-range catamaran sailing? It has to be fast. Fast. I'm Steve Baker. Fast catamaran. None of this dilly-dallying with medium pace catamaran sailing for me. It has to be fast catamaran. I could listen to that. I could have that on loop. Can I get it as a ringtone, Keith?
Skydiving, motorcycling, fast catamaran
Hello?
Sailing.
James O'Brien. Paul's in Brentford. It wasn't you, was it, on that scooter yesterday?
It absolutely wasn't me, no.
Glad to hear it. What made you pick up the phone?
A few things, actually. I mean, I don't think you're an oldie at all.
Thank you very much, Paul. Means a lot.
I think you are a responsible person, and I think that there are a number of problems with this whole thing.
Yeah.
I think this all started with the introduction of the hire vehicles. So with the introduction of hire bikes and hire scooters. So that's the first thing.
Yeah.
The second thing is, I mean, the law, as I understand it, is that it is a maximum of a 250-watt motor, and it must be pedal-assisted, and it must only go up to 15 miles an hour. So once your vehicle is going at 15 miles an hour, your bicycle, any pedal assistance from the motor cuts out. So that's the law. That's what a line bike is. That's why line bikes don't go that
fast. You can't go. No, exactly. There's a sort of upper limit.
Yeah, 15 miles an hour, 250-watt motor. But then what's happened is that there are hundreds of sites where you can convert an ordinary bicycle with anything up to a 1,000-watt a motor. And there are dodges that you can do that effectively give them a throttle, just like on a motorcycle. So the vast majority of the bikes that you see, the delivery drivers, Deliveroo and stuff, they're illegal because they are motorized electric bicycles, electric motorbikes is what they are. They don't cut out. They have no limit on the speed that they can go at. They are not pedal assisted. And, I've seen these guys. There's a guy I see on Boston Manor Road, because I've got a bicycle, a motorbike, and a car.
Right.
And there's a guy comes down Boston Manor Road past the Harvester on a regular basis.
Mate, I'm trying to resist allegations of turning into Alan Partridge. And you're talking about my local street and my local Harvester on national radio. This is awful.
But it's my local street.
I know
too.
It is, but it's also mine, and that makes everything worse.
No, it doesn't.
Go on then.
Because this is going on all over the country.
Exactly. That's the point. It's not the pedestrianisation of Norwich City Centre. It's a national issue.
It is.
I know.
But he's doing
a menace.
30 miles an hour.
I know he is. I know the fella. He's a menace.
This guy's coming down to... He's got a motorcycle crash helmet on, thank God.
Yes.
But if he hits somebody... You know, the brakes on that
thing aren't
good enough.
It's not funny at all. It's not... Why do you and I care and other people don't?
Well... I don't know.
Nor do I.
I don't know.
It's weird.
And when I see them riding these things without helmets, I came off my bike 17 years ago, and the ambulance guy that got me off the floor said, if I hadn't have been wearing my crash helmet, I'd have been dead. That's what he said to me. And my crash helmet was split in half. I wasn't unconscious.
And it wait till you see the mother and daughter I saw yesterday evening, mate. Seriously, it gives me chills just thinking about
it. But they're everywhere.
I know they are. You're my brother. Because we feel it, Paul. We feel it, and other people don't feel it like they should. Yeah, I don't know why.
Have you seen this one where the kids have got helmets on and the parents don't?
Yes, I see that quite a lot. That is bizarre.
So if you fall off, your kid's going to be brought up without a parent.
Blimey. Yeah.
Well,
I can't argue with you. There's the logic. If you fall off and die, I mean, not just if you fall off. I don't want any children listening to worry that their parents are going to get taken away if they fall off their bike.
Well, here's another one for you. James.
Go on, then.
If you've got a motorbike, because I've got a motorbike, if you put your helmet on the petrol tank, if it drops off, by the time it hits the ground, it's going at 30 miles an hour.
Good Lord. That's twice as fast as a squirrel.
Yeah, but that's how you're headed.
No, I hear you. No, I know you're right. It is just a weird one. We'll do the psychology of it on another occasion. I'm going to go full Partridge now. Are you ready?
Yeah.
How excited are you about the new Lidl?
Oh, can't wait.
It's going to be mad, right? I'll see you in the middle aisle, Paul.
Absolutely. Look forward to it.
June the 5th.
Are you going to be there?
You know I am. I'm opening it. No, I'm not. That's a joke. It's absolutely a joke. I'm not.
What day is June the 5th?
I don't know. Do your own research. Honestly, do I look like Google? But if I'm not there on the 5th, I'll be there shortly afterwards. Mind how you go, mate. And I shall look out for that menace that you describe, and you look out for the ones I described. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on Catch Up on both Global Player and the new LBC app, where you can read and watch the latest from LBC. You can put your news categories in the order you want. You can pause and rewind live radio. You can listen to a range of podcasts. Download the all-new official LBC app for free from your app store now. Coming up at 4 on LBC, Ben Kentish is in for Tom Swarbrick, but now it's time for Sheila Fogarty.
Thank you. It's on a Thursday, June the 5th.
Thank you, Sheila.
There you go. I had to check myself.
Well played.
3 o'clock today, the possession of small quantities of cannabis for personal use should be decriminalised. So says a report backed by the London Mayor. Let's talk about drug use at 3. At 2, the Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, is urging doctors not to strike. And I am too. I'll tell you why after 2. Going to start with what Sir Mark Rowley's been saying, though. I think it's really important. The Met Chief, he's got to be right, hasn't he? You can't empty prisons, jail fewer people, and expect safer streets without more funding for police. And I know they're not emptying prisons fully. They're just going to be putting different types of people in those prisons, more serious criminals. But some pretty serious people are going to be let out as well. So is it right that the police get more funding? It's a yes from me.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock, Britain's most senior police officer has warned that prison reforms in England and Wales will lead to more crime. Some criminals could be released a third of the way through their jail terms as part of the changes. Sir Mark Rowley says there needs to be serious investment in June's spending review to deal with demand. Cabinet Minister Sir Chris Bryant has told LBC government is sympathetic, but has refused to confirm any extra funding.
They're going to be very tough decisions. I don't want to pretend anything other. There's not a lot of money around. I think somebody once said that socialism is